I tell you what sparked me is Jimmy said, why don't we just have a revival start today? And I thought, that's a good thought. We don't have to wait. We don't have to wait till April or October or any time in between or anything. It can start today.
Amen.
It can start. And you know where it'll start? It'll start in God's house.
Amen.
You know what? It'll start in God's house because it's with God's people.
Amen.
It'll start with God's people deciding that, you know what? The fire that I once had, I want it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
The joy that I once had, I want it again. The closeness that I once had, I want it again. That's what revival means. See, something has to be revived first. It has to live first. And then it kind of goes away and then it gets revived, brought back to life. You know, just like in the hospital, if someone's coding, they get out those paddles and they shock them. Sometimes we need that too, spiritually. We just need, just need hit. I tell you what, God, He's good to us. And whatever you need, He's got the answer. Even if I don't preach on something you need today, you can come here and you can find something with Him. You can find an answer. You can get what you need. You can get the strength you need. That's the wonderful part. It takes the pressure off me. Because I know He's taking care of us. But Genesis chapter 20 is, we're going to look at a story in Abraham's life. Starting in verse 1, it says, "And Abraham journeyed from thence toward south country and dwelled in Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech king of Gerar sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near unto her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she even said herself, said he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocency of my hands have I done this? And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thine heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me, and therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. There, now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning, and he called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid." I'd be afraid too if God said I was a dead man. Verse 9, "Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee that thou hast brought me in on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds to me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abram, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, that they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister, she is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of thy mother. And she became my wife." We're almost done. "And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me at every place. Whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and woman servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored unto him Sarah's wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleaseth thee." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your love and your mercy and already being with us and filling this place. Lord, I need you today. I need you to fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. Touch our hearts. Lord, help us, guard my tongue. And Lord, I ask that you would just give us something today that would, Lord, would help us to serve you. Help us to follow you and help us so much to see who you really are. We love you, Jesus, and thank you for everything. In your name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so this story is later in Abraham's life. By this point, he is nearly 100 years old. He's already had Ishmael. He's already been circumcised. Sodom and Gomorrah were just destroyed. That was the story before this one. So the Bible doesn't tell me why Abraham traveled to Gerar, but we know that there was a king in that area, and his name is Abimelech. So what happens is God, remember, God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees when he was 75 years. So 25 years prior to this, God called him out of there. And as soon as he made it to Canaan, you remember what happened in Canaan? There was a famine, right? So instead of staying where God wanted him to, he flees to Egypt. Now listen to this is Genesis 12, verse 11 through 13. This is that trip in Egypt early on. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter unto Egypt, he said unto Sarah his wife, "Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look on. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say, 'This is his wife,' and they'll kill me, but they will save thee alive." Listen to this. "Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." Kind of sounds the same, doesn't it? So 25 years prior, when he had just come to where God wanted him to go, God called him into Canaan. When he got to Canaan, there's a famine. That's what happens, by the way. When you go to serve God, when God calls you to do something, when you step out in faith, be ready for a storm to be there. And God, he knows it's there. He knew the famine was there. And you know what? God could have taken care of him without him going to Egypt. That's very important for us to remember. But that's not part of the message. But as soon as he gets to Egypt, he says, "No, we got a problem, honey. We've got a problem. You're good looking. And if I tell them the truth that you're my wife, they're going to kill me so that they can have you." 25 years later, the passage we read in chapter 20, he's going to Gerar. There's a king there. He's afraid of the men. He's afraid because she's fair to look on. And he says the same thing. "Tell them you're my sister. Don't tell them the truth." So Sarah was Abraham's half-sister. So this is what we do. Well, it's a half-truth, right? I'm kind of telling the truth, right? No. A half-truth is a whole lie. You can just write that down right now. He was deceiving them. He was afraid, and he was lying about his wife because he was afraid they would kill him. So when this happened in Egypt, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh's house had been plagued. He was mad. He said basically almost the same thing that King Gerar and Abimelech said. He said, "What have you done? Why did you say she was my sister? Why have you done this to us?" And then he sends him away with his wife. Almost exactly what we see in this passage right here. So we see nearly two identical stories where Abraham does the same thing. He's afraid. Now remember, this is Abraham, the father of many nations. God had promised him wonderful things. He spoke to God as if they were friends. You remember that? Before Sodom and Gomorrah, he's saying, "Peradventure, there's, 50 righteous in the city." He is bartering with God. He's talking with God. He has seen God face to face. All of these things that have happened, and this is a man who is, he has had big promises by God. God said, "And your seed, I will make you a father of many nations," right? Yeah, this man, big things God has promised him. And he has a good relationship with God. Yet, he's afraid. He's fearful. He says, "They're going to kill me for you." The father of many nations. The one who God said, "From your seed will become many nations, more than stars in the sky, more than sand on the seashore, more than whatever you can come up with to count. That's what I will make of you." And he says, "I'm afraid a man's going to kill me." Seems ridiculous, doesn't it? That's how the devil works in our life, with fear. He does the same thing. He will take a promise that God has given us, and he will make us forget the promise, because if you think logically, there is no way that a man is going to kill him before God does what he says he's going to do, right? There's no way that he will die before Isaac comes. Just like there's no way Isaac's going to stay dead after he kills him on the mountain, right? When God promises something, you can take it all the way. Amen? He doesn't turn back on his promises. And guess what? It doesn't matter what man does in spite of God's promises. God's promises will still come true. That means there is nothing that man can do that can take away your salvation, that can take away my salvation. Nothing man can do can take away the Holy Spirit. Nothing man can do can stop this church. None of it. Because God's promised it.
But we still get afraid, don't we?
Yeah.
We forget about God's promises. We forget, we get afraid. But I'm here to tell you, we don't have to be afraid, but we do. And Abraham, a great man of God, was fearful. But here's the problem. His little trick, his deception, it had consequences. He was in a heathen land in front of a heathen pharaoh in Egypt and a heathen king in Gerar. And guess what happened? They both saw the lie. They saw the deception. Why? Because God showed them.
Yeah.
The Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. Amen. It will happen. And the awful part in both of these stories is you have a heathen king and a heathen pharaoh telling Abraham how he should live godly.
Yeah.
Right? They're saying, why have you done this? Why have you lied? Why have you brought a reproach on our nation? Why have you done this, Abraham? And then they say, get out of here. You know what's awful? In our passage, God told Abimelech in the dream that Abraham was a prophet. We read that. Did Abimelech want any more information out of Abraham? Abraham, tell me about your God. Abraham, tell me about what your God has done for you. What promises He has made? No. He said, get out of here. Get out of here. That's the problem with sin. It can ruin our testimony.
That's right.
This world's not going to want to hear from you and I if we're going to deceive them and lie to them and trick them.
Yeah.
When they find the truth, they're not going to want to hear about our God. Again, this is Abraham I'm talking about. Great Father Abraham. Our sin will affect our testimony. But you know what? I was looking at this and I said, wait a second. Abraham has committed the exact same sin twice. Right? Two times. Same thing. 25 years. You'd think he would have learned his lesson. Right? But instead he goes right back to the same thing. A man with so many victories. A man God had used and God's presence was in front of him. All of these things that had happened. And I started wondering, is God, will he forgive him again? Is God going to forgive him again for the same sin? Have you ever done that? Have you ever sinned the same sin over and over again before God and wondered, will he forgive again? I think this passage helps us. So as I was looking into God's forgiveness, I noticed something. I noticed a common trend that when God tells us about forgiving each other, He mixes it. He puts together with our forgiveness with Him. Does that make sense? He puts it together. I'll give you some examples. Let's go to the Bible. Mark 11:25 says, "And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespass." There's one example. Ephesians 4:32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." But if you Matthew 6:15, the last one, "But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." God, these are just three examples I found over and over again where God ties forgiveness of us with each other,
yeah,
with Him forgiving us. So if I don't forgive Brother Pete, He's saying right there, God's saying, I'm not going to forgive you, Mike. He's linking them together. What He's saying is we need to forgive one another as much as I forgive you.
Yeah.
That's hard to do. Because we're around each other a lot. We get on each other's nerves. We say things we shouldn't. But God is saying, listen, I'm forgiving. I want you to forgive each other.
Amen.
Now the question, Matthew 18:21, Peter comes along with Jesus and asks Him a question. "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?"
Yeah.
And Peter, being pious, he says, 7 times. See, the Jews said 3. That's all you had to do. The 4th time, you don't have to forgive him anymore. So if me and Pete, we use Pete and I. If I offend Pete the same way 3 times, he has to forgive me, according to the Jews. The 4th time, Pete can say, forget you, Mike. So Peter comes along asking Jesus, how many times shall I forgive a brother for the same thing? 7?
Oh, I sound good now,
don't I?
Well, Jesus sinks that ship. He says, Jesus said unto them, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven.
Yeah. He don't want you to do the math. He's saying, you're not going to quit. Every time you're going to forgive. That's hard for us, isn't it? It's hard to forgive one another 70 times 7, isn't it? But now wait a second. God said, if you don't forgive each other, I won't forgive you. You realize there's something important in the Bible that we know. God never asked us to do something that He wouldn't do. So if He's not going to tell us, right? He's not going to tell me to forgive and you to forgive each other 70 times 7 without Him doing the same thing.
Right.
Oh, that sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right? I like that. Because I don't just mess up on God. I'd be in trouble if it was the Jewish way. I'd messed up on God more than three times. I'd even be in trouble with Peter's measure. 7. I need more than that. I don't know about you. I stumble over and over again. You know, the Bible says we will fight with this flesh each and every day of our life. Yes, we are coming closer to God. Yes, He has filled us with the Holy Spirit. Yes, we have His Word to guide us. But there is that devil. There is that flesh that over and over again gets us to stumble. We listen to him sometimes. We think instead of walking by faith. We get lazy on God. We do all these things and we do them over and over again. I am glad that God said, I will forgive you 70 times 7, just like you need to forgive one another 70 times 7. Isn't that good? I like that. I figured I'd get more amens than that. Maybe you're better than I am and you don't sin as much as I do. But I'm here to tell you, I'm glad we have that promise from God.
That's right.
Now,
that's right.
Let's go back to Abraham. You're saying, well, Mike, he doesn't mean it. He's only done it twice. Let's go back into the Word real quick. Genesis 20, I want us to look at verse 13 very, very closely. Abraham's talking to the king after everything's been uncovered. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house. So what he's saying is, when God called me out of Ur 25 years ago, listen, that I said unto her, this is his wife, this is the kindness which thou shalt show unto me. If you love me, I want you to do this. This is Mike's translation. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. You see what that's saying?
Yeah.
Every place whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. You know, Abraham admitted to the king. He said, I have been doing this since we left Ur 25 years ago. Every place we've come, I have said, she's my sister. And have had her say, you're my brother.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Sure.
I told you in Sunday school, I read some of these passages over and over again. And you know, you get a lot out of it. But there's some times where he slows you down and says, look at that again.
Yeah.
And I said, oh my. Abraham didn't do this twice. No, he got caught twice.
Yeah.
And Scripture tells us about it twice. Abraham did this over and over and over and over again.
That's right.
Oh, I like that. I don't like sin. I don't like falling short. But I like it when the Bible has real people in it.
That's right.
That stumble and that deal with the same, why he dealt with the same fear over and over again. He was afraid that men were going to kill him for his wife's sake. And that fear caused him to lie everywhere he went. Sometimes it worked. Sometimes it didn't. But in the end, we are still talking about it today because God showed light on it. But I want you to know something. When God talks about Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11, He talks about a powerful man that walked by faith
that saw his son Isaac, he knew that if he killed his son Isaac, God would raise him from the dead. That is powerful faith from a man of God. Yet that same man of God, over and over again, was afraid what other men would do to him. He knew God would raise his son from the dead, but he was afraid of what other men would do to him. This powerful Abraham, everywhere he went, and the sin that he did over and over again, God called him a prophet, and yet the prophet is lying everywhere he goes. It doesn't sound like much of a prophet to me, but here is where God is saying, listen, if I forgave Abraham over and over again, and if I was able to use Abraham in the mighty way that I did, then guess what? I will still use you. Even if the devil is hitting you with the same thing, even if that same sin creeps back up, and I know it, when you go for that temptation again, I get so frustrated, I get so disappointed in myself, I get mad at myself, and then the devil's just throwing logs on the fire. He says, look at you, Mike, you worthless piece of junk. You think you love God, and you go against God, even though he was the same one giving me the temptation just before that. I am here to say that God still loves you. He still cares for you. And the same cross that paid for the sins before will pay for this one as well. It's already taken care of. Now, this is not a license to sin. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid.
Yeah, that's right. But I'm here to tell you, if the devil is trying to convince you that God won't forgive you anymore, he is a liar.
Yeah,
that's right. He's a liar.
That's right. Amen.
You know what the devil was trying to do in this story? In the other story?
He liked it. He liked the lies. He liked the deception.
You know what else he liked? He liked where Sarah went away and that marriage was broken up. Right?
Right.
Do you know what else he liked? He was trying to pollute that seed. Because he remembers Genesis chapter 3. He remembers where God told him that you will bruise his heel, but he'll bruise your head by the seed of the woman. So he has tried all throughout Scripture. You know what the first whack he took at it? Cain and Abel. He said, if I have one of your seed kill the other one, then surely the murderer is not going to make it, and I'll kill the good one, and there we go. God's plan is foiled. God said, I was ready for that. What did God do this time? He shut up every womb until Sarah and Abraham were restored. You know why? God's saying, devil, nice try again. But no. I'll take care of it. So that way, and I'll make it so where he can't touch you. You're saying, well, wait a second, Mike. Don't we get the freedom to make choices? Absolutely. We have free will. It's on our sign. Right? We have free will to make the choices we want. Now, God sometimes takes options away. Right?
Yeah.
He'll say, I won't let you do this. I'll let you do other things, but I'll take one thing out of the way. I'll close the door. Isn't this amazing? God says, Isaac will come. It's not coming from Cain and Abimelech. It's coming from you, Abraham.
That's right.
And even in the midst of your life, in the midst of your deception and your fear, I will protect you from what you've messed up.
Yeah.
I will not let your wife be taken for another man.
That's right.
Even though that's what you've set up, I'll protect you. I'll protect your life. I'll protect her life. And Isaac will come.
Amen.
You know what that tells me? Even in our mistakes, even in our shortcomings, God says, I can still make things happen.
Yeah.
I can work in the midst of your failure.
Yeah.
God says, I'm big. I can fix what you've messed up. I still love you. And I'll still use you. And the promise I made before is still good today.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're struggling with something. I don't know who that may have helped today. But God does. But I'm here to tell you, church, when God forgives, it's bigger than our forgiveness.
Right.
Now, we're held to the same standard, 70 times 7, but we fall short. I take out the multiple. I usually do 70 minus 7, you know, or 70 divided by 7. It's probably closer to what I would do.
But here's the thing. God's different.
Amen.
He says, I died for you. I love
Amen.
You. I knew every sin that you were going to commit. So I knew that you were going to repeatedly fall short in the same way. Guess what? I still died for you.
Yes.
And guess what? I still came and touched your heart and offered you salvation, knowing what you would do later.
Yeah.
What a God.
Amen.
If we knew, think about this, think about someone you met for the first time. Imagine you meeting your best friend the first day, but knowing every time they're going to fail you. Would you still be friends? Probably not. Now imagine God looking at us, saying, I love you, I want you, I died for you. Will you take this salvation? Will you accept it? Will you accept me and my gift and my blood, knowing what you've done? I ask everybody to stand.